are you doing this morning? How are you doing in the house of the Lord this morning? Are you excited? I just wanted to greet you before my wonderful husband came up because I've just been so blessed to be here, so blessed to be able to partner with this house and just see his glory transform and his glory just touch in a fresh and powerful way. You know, the earth is groaning for the manifestation of the sons of God. And so that's exactly what's been happening this weekend, is there's a call to manifest like never before. You're called to manifest. You're the sons and daughters of God. You're called to manifest his glory here on the earth. There is a desperate world outside of these doors that are yearning for truth, that are yearning for change, that are yearning for a touch from a higher power. They may not even know, you know, what that higher power is, but you do, Jesus Christ, the hope of glory inside of you, and you're called to manifest. Amen? One of our favorite and one of our life scriptures is Isaiah 60, and I just wanted to declare Isaiah 60 over you this morning. It says, "Arise and shine. Arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you." Do you know that you're covered in his glory? "Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Lift up your eyes and look about you. All assemble and come to you. Your sons come from afar, and your daughters are carried on the hip." And in verse 5, it says, "Then you will look and be radiant." Do you know that the glory causes you to shine? Do you know that the glory causes you to be attractive? There's an attractiveness, there's an influence upon you when the glory of the Lord is upon you. People are going to be attracted to you because they're going to see something different on your life. So don't be surprised when people come up to you and just start randomly asking you questions, because they see something different on your life. Because the glory attracts and it lights you up. "Your heart will throb and swell with joy." Well, that's good news. To be happy, to be full of joy. "And the wealth on the seas will be brought to you." Whoa. "The wealth on the seas will be brought to you. To you, the riches of the nations will come." Great provision is your portion. Great provision, the inheritance of the nations, belongs to you. Wealth in finances, but wealth in your relationships, wealth in your body, every part of your being, body, soul, and spirit. There's a promise of wealth and riches. There's a promise of joy. There's a promise of his greater glory continuing to increase upon your life each and every day. Favor, blessing, and increase belongs to you, the children of God. Amen? Hallelujah.
Just lift up your hands in the realm. What God's doing in me, it's for eternity. What God is making of me, for eternity. It's not just for today or even tomorrow, for this shall pass away. What God's doing in me and making of me is for eternity. Shall pass away. What God's doing in me and making of me is for eternity. He's doing something on the inside that's flowing onto the outside. It's for eternity. The work He's doing in me, He's doing something on the inside that's flowing onto the outside. He's doing something in me that's for eternity. There's blessing on the inside, flowing onto the outside. He's doing something in me, it's for eternity. And there is healing on the inside, it's flowing out to the outside. He's doing something in me, it's for eternity. There's something being released in me, glory being released in me that cannot stay on the inside, but I gotta let it out. And there are rivers, and there are streams, there are rivers of blessing flowing from the inside to the outside of me. 'Cause what He's doing in me, the change He's bringing is for eternity. And what God's making of me, He's making something wonderful, and it's for eternity. It's not just for today or even tomorrow, and this shall pass away. And what God's doing in me, what He's making of me, is for eternity. Come on, just lift up your hands in this place this morning. Just lift up your hands in this place and just bless the Lord and thank Him that He's doing something on the inside of you. He's changing things on the inside of you. He's releasing blessing on the inside of you. He's healing things on the inside of you. He's working miracles on the inside of you. He's doing something on the inside that's beginning to flow to the outside. is doing something on the inside that's beginning to spill over, spill out, beginning to manifest himself on the outside. There's changes that are happening on the inside that are bringing forth change on the outside. There's atmosphere shift on the inside that's bringing forth an atmosphere shift on the outside. God is releasing things from heaven on the inside, connecting spirit to spirit. It's deep calling unto deep. It's the deep things of God connecting with the deep things within. And suddenly in that realm of impartation from the heavens, in that realm of being touched by his glory within, there are rivers that flow from our innermost being, and they begin to bubble up and they begin to spill over. And suddenly we discover that there is a river of glory that's flowing from the inside to the outside. And in places where we have not seen the miracle before, we shall begin to see the miracle. And in places in the natural where we have not seen the blessing before, we shall be those that begin to see the blessing, for there's something on the inside that's spilling out, spilling over, and flowing to the outside, and manifesting divine glory in our lives. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. 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 I like that word, hallelujah. It's a spiritual word. It can be the proof of the fact that it's supernatural is that it can be understood in every language, in every culture on earth. When you begin to say that word hallelujah, it is the same in all places, in all tongues. It's a supernatural word that goes beyond just praise the Lord. It's not just a cute statement or a nice little phrase. It's actually a command. The word hallel is a command that means you must. Hallelujah is a command. You must praise Yah. Hallelujah. You must praise Yahweh. You must praise Yahweh. When you begin to release hallelujah on the sea, I'm talking about when your spirit connects with the spirit of glory, and there's a praise on the inside of you that begins to resonate. When you begin to release that sound, hallelujah, you begin to speak to your atmosphere. You begin to speak to your situations. You begin to speak to your circumstance. You begin to speak to things that have been bothering you, things that have been a problem in your life, and you begin to command, hallelujah, you must praise Yah. In other words, family, you can't stay the way that you've always been. Hallelujah. You must praise Yah. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. You begin to command your body. Hallelujah. Speaking to your physical body, to your flesh, saying, you must praise Yah. You can't stay the way you've always been. There's been sickness. There's been infirmity. There's been symptoms. There's been disease. But hallelujah, you must praise Yah. I'm not giving you an option. I'm telling you the way it ought to be. I'm not giving you a suggestion. I'm telling you, you've got to praise. Hallelujah. You must praise Yahweh. I find myself many times when I'm preaching, I say, hallelujah. It just comes out, just spills out of me. It's not religious practice. It's not just something I do out of ritualistic expression. But the reason why that hallelujah bubbles out is because it's on the inside of me, and I begin to discern that there's things that God wants to change in the atmosphere. There's things that he wants to release into the atmosphere. And when I begin to release that hallelujah, I'm speaking to the atmosphere and saying, you must praise. Hallelujah. 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 I don't know whether you can feel it bubbling up on the inside of you. There is something on the inside that God wants to spill over and cause it to explode all over the outside. Hallelujah. Okay, open your Bible with me. I'm going to go into the Word this morning. We have been having a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Some of you have been here all weekend. Has anybody received any miracles? Anybody? Put up your hand if you've gotten some miracles this weekend. You got a miracle? Hallelujah. It's wonderful. You got a miracle? Yeah, it's wonderful. Praise God. Hallelujah. You got a miracle. Praise God. You got some miracles. It's wonderful. Where were the rest of you? It wasn't a trap. It was an invitation. It was an invitation. We still have one more meeting tonight, and it's going to be tremendous. It's going to be a night of impartation. We're going to lay hands on every single person that's here and believe God to release some wonderful miracles in your life. Now, 2 Corinthians, open there with me to 2 Corinthians, and we're going to look in the fourth chapter, starting in verse 16. It says, therefore, we do not lose heart. Therefore, we do not lose heart. I've discovered that really, in the realm of the spirit, a lot of things come right down to a heart issue. It's interesting, the scriptures declare, even over wisdom and everything else, and we know that wisdom is the principal thing, the Bible tells us that. But it says, even above wisdom, it says, above all else, guard your heart. Because from your heart flow the issues of life. And going through life, the situations you face, the circumstances that you deal with day in and day out, I've discovered that every day is really a day when we have to guard our heart. We have to watch our heart. It's easy for our heart to become callous. It's easy for our heart to become hard. It's easy for our heart to be closed. And that's why the Bible says, above all else, guard your heart. Because God wants to connect with you heart to heart. Yeah. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of glory, wants to connect with you heart to heart, spirit to spirit. And here in the scripture it says, do not lose heart. Because the problem is, if you lose heart, you've really lost the battle. As soon as you give up, let me say it this way. When you no longer pursue, when you no longer press in, when you no longer believe, what happens? Suddenly you come into a place where instead of increasing, you begin decreasing. Instead of growing, you begin dying within. And God is really wanting, I believe, to restore childlike faith within His body. I believe that God's really wanting to restore a fresh love, a new love, a first love to His bride, to the church, His glorious bride. God's wanting to restore those things, those places, those feelings where we've let go, we've lost heart, we've given up, we've said, I've had enough, I can't go any longer. We've really not guarded our heart, and in that, the enemy uses it as an avenue for problems to come, for deception to come, for all kinds of and all manner of evil to come. And I had a really, really interesting encounter last year. I'm going to share a little testimony with you. I was in Los Angeles last year. We had been ministering out in Palm Springs for a couple days, and then I was preaching in Huntington Beach. And my son Lincoln, he was 11 years old at the time. He's 12 now, and he's almost 13. He was with me on that trip, on that ministry trip. And I told him, because I believe that one of the most spiritual things you can ever do in life is just spend time with your family and take care of the ones that God has given to you. I really do believe that. And so I try to always make sure that my first, you know, people say, well, you know, let's get our priorities right. It's God first, then it's family, then it's ministry. And I say, well, that's kind of right, but actually my family is my ministry. Above all other ministry, my family is my ministry. Those are the ones that God has given to me. Those are the ones that God has put closest to my life. So if I'm not ministering to my family, then I'm missing the whole point altogether. And so I had Lincoln on this trip, and we were doing ministry together. But I also understand that there has to be that one-on-one time. There has to be that time that I just spend with him, and he knows that I'm there for him, and he can talk to me, and he can be with me, and he can have fun with me, and nobody else is going to steal the attention away from him. And so I told him, I said, on Monday, we're going to go up to Hollywood, and we're going to have, we call it Boys Club. And it's just him and I, and we just have fun, and we do whatever he wants to do. And so we went up to Hollywood, and we were spending the whole day together, and we had this awesome day together. And at the end of the day, we were walking down Hollywood Boulevard together, and all at once, I heard a sound singing, a voice singing in my ear audibly. And it was so loud, it was like this voice just came right out of heaven and began singing, "Don't give up, you're on the brink of a miracle. Don't give in, God is still on the throne. Don't give up, you're on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up, remember you're not alone." And I thought, I know I'm not alone because I can hear your voice singing in my ear. And it was wonderful and it was encouraging because there's a lot of things I've been believing God for a long time. Some miracles that I've been holding on to, believing God by faith that they would come into being for 2, 3, 4 years, you know, holding on to these things. And at times, you know, you hold on to faith and you hold on to believing for the miracle, but then there comes a time when you start to wonder, can that miracle ever really happen? Will that miracle ever really come into my life? Will I ever really step into the victory in this area? Will I ever get the breakthrough that I believe God wants me to have? Am I the only one that thinks that way sometimes? You believe, you believe, you believe. I am. You believe, you believe, you believe. And then you start to wonder. It's been 1 year, it's been 2 years, it's been 5 years. God, I've been saved for 10 years, believing you the whole time for this thing. Will it ever happen? And the Bible says, do not lose heart. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up. You know, the greatest pressure always comes before the greatest breakthrough. Ha. It takes a whole lot of pressure to create diamonds. You understand that? In the earth, there has to be a lot of pressure before the diamond is formed. And sometimes you feel all of that pressure. But what God is doing, he's literally creating a diamond. A miracle, something spectacular, something so beautiful inside of your life. You cannot give up now. I was driving from Hollywood out to my home in Palm Springs that night. Lincoln was tired, so he laid the passenger seat down and he was resting. And it was summertime, so it was really, really hot. And I had the air conditioning turned on full blast. It was loud and it was blowing in my face. And I was driving down the I-10 highway from Los Angeles to Palm Springs, and as I was driving down the road, all at once, that voice came back and began singing in my ear. Don't give up, you're on the brink of a miracle. Don't give in, God is still on the throne. Don't give up, you're on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up. Remember, you're not alone. And I thought, Lord, thank you for letting me hear that voice. Because you said in the mouth of 2 or 3 witnesses, it will be established, it will be confirmed. And now I've heard the voice 2 times. I've heard the message 2 times. That means that what you're about to do in my life is going to come forth in an accelerated way. You're giving me this message for me to pay attention to what is being said in order for me to understand that I need to hold on. I cannot give up now. I'm literally on the brink. of stepping into the greatest miracles I've ever known. I can't let go. I got home to Palm Springs. Now, you have to understand, people ask me all the time. They say, Brother Joshua, how much time do you spend on the road? The real question would be, how much time do I spend at home? I can easily tell you how much time I spend at home. It's about 2 or 3 nights a month is what I spend in my own bed at home. And the rest of the time, it's spent. They said, well, where do you live? My answer is always, I live with Mr. Hilton at the Hilton Hotel. That's where I live. All around the world, wherever he's got a home, I seem to live in his home. And that's just the way that it is. And, you know, we've stayed in a lot of wonderful hotels, and we've been treated very, very kindly. Even being here, Pastor Steve and Janet, you have treated us extremely kindly, and your hospitality is absolutely outstanding. And, you know, growing up as a child, we were always told that in Africa we would starve, and that is not the case at all. The whole time we've been here, there is always another pie or cheesecake or muffin or meal or dinner or crisps or chips or something being offered to us. We can drink mocha or coffee or tea or cappuccino or still water or sparkling water. The hospitality has been outstanding, absolutely amazing. And I'm so thankful for that, because we just come to serve. We come to give. We don't come with any expectation of anything, except we just want to be a blessing, and we want to pour out, and we want to impart to you what God has put into our lives. But all over the world, people, we have experienced some of the most wonderful hospitality, and people treating us so kindly, and we sleep in these nice beds. But I will say this, that there is no bed like your own bed. And I love being able to sleep in my bed in California. I think I've only slept in it about maybe 2 weeks total this year. It's been so little that I've gotten to sleep in my bed in California. And but my bed in California, it's a California king, so it's a little bit longer than a normal king. And it's about, from the platform here, it's about this high off of the ground. I literally have to crawl up into bed. I love it. And it's all cushy and comfy. And I like to have the big comforters on my bed. I don't know if you like big, cozy comforters. I like really, really big, cozy comforters. And I have a lot of pillows on my bed. And I get all snuggled up like a bug in a rug when I'm in my bed. And it was summertime. It was really hot in Palm Springs. You know, it's out in the middle of the desert. So the only way I can get comfortable in bed is if I make sure my air conditioning is as cool as it will possibly go. And my room is like a freezer. But then I get up in my bed and I get all snuggly inside and comfy inside. And I just absolutely love it. And so I got all wrapped up in my bed. And I turned my nightlight off, my bedstand light off. And I was laying there, and all at once in my ear, don't give up. You're on the brink. Literally scared me half to death. It sounded like somebody was laying in bed with me, beside me in the bed. Don't give up. You're on the brink of a miracle. Don't give in. God is still on the throne. Don't give up. You're on the brink of a miracle. Don't give up. Remember, you're not alone. I got so encouraged by that message. I got so encouraged by that song. And the voice continued to sing for a whole day. I think it was about a day and a half that voice continued to sing in my ear. I'm talking about an audible, just like if you were to sing to me, I heard it in the same way, audible in my ear. It was there singing this song nonstop, over and over. It sang all night. It sang all day. It was the most wonderful thing. That song got so stirred up in my spirit, I began to carry it with me everywhere I go. I love it when God gives you a message, and then you begin to carry it, just like you would carry a child. Now, you know, because I'm male, I don't know what it feels like to carry a child, but I do know what it feels like to carry something in the spirit. And in my spiritual womb, my womb was full with this revelation. Don't give up. you're on the brink of a miracle. And within the next few weeks, we begin to see some of the most wonderful breakthroughs, things that we've been believing for 2, 3, 4 years, things that we've been standing in faith for a long time. All of a sudden, the miracle began to come forth. And I began to recognize what God had given to me wasn't even just for me, but it was for others. And I began to sing that song in the meetings. And as I would sing it, people would connect with that thing. And they begin to receive it. And God would begin to restore faith. And God would begin to restore a sense of believing and knowing and trusting where people had lost heart or people had given up. Suddenly there was a renewed faith to believe that with God all things are possible. There's nothing that is too difficult for God. And this morning, I'm here to tell you, don't give up. You are on the brink of the greatest miracles you have ever experienced in your life. There's something on the inside that's about to flow to the outside. There's something on the inside of you that God is birthing, and you're about to birth it in the spirit where it begins to manifest in the natural, where surely your eyes shall see the glory of the Lord in the land of the living. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's some things you've been believing for a long time. And actually, at this point, you started to believe you would never, ever see them. Don't let the enemy lie to you now. You've come way too far. You've stood in faith for way too long. Don't give up. You are on the brink of a miracle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. There's a whole lot of testimonies I could tell you surrounding that song and that message that came right from heaven. It's one of the most wonderful things, but I want to go further into this scripture because we're just on the first line here. It's amazing. The first time I ever had the opportunity to preach, it was really a Holy Spirit setup. I didn't realize it was coming. Pastor had invited me. I was very familiar with doing praise and worship all weekend and doing worship conferences and singing at the keyboard. And after I got done, the pastor got up and he made some announcements, received an offering. And then he said, Brother Josh was going to come and share the word. And this was revelation to me. I had never, ever preached a day in my life. And so I got up and I said everything I could possibly think of saying in about 10 or 15 minutes. And then I had said it all, and I went to hand the microphone back to the pastor. And he said, keep on going. I said, I've said everything I can think of. He said, you better think of something more because you still got tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, Sunday morning, and Sunday night. But God has done a miracle in my life. And now I have to watch the clock because if I don't, I could literally preach myself happy until Jesus comes back. Hallelujah. I really could. I could take one line of scripture and I could preach about it for 31 days. Hallelujah, really. Therefore, we do not lose heart. Though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly, somebody say there's something happening inside. Yeah, it might look crazy on the outside, and on the outside it might look like you're wasting away, but the Bible says inwardly, we are being renewed day by day. God is moving us from faith to faith, from glory to glory, from grace to grace, from one miracle to another miracle. There's something on the inside that God is creating on the inside of us because there is an appointed time when it's about to come out, spill out, and manifest outside of us. It says, outwardly we are wasting away, yet inwardly we are being renewed day by day. And then verse 17 is very interesting. It says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving, some translations say, working for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now this is interesting. How many people have some trouble in your life? Well, I'm glad, Pastor Steve, it's only half the church. So the other half of people that didn't lift their hands, if they call you for counseling, you just remind them of this morning, they don't have any trouble in their life. How many have some troubles in your life? Some problems, some difficulty. Okay, now all the hands are on there. Yeah. Now the Bible talks about your trouble, and you know, I know the things you've been going through. It seems very heavy. The things you've been going through, we would call them hardships. The things we've been facing. You know, troubles come into people's lives, and some people get stressed out. Some people get so anxious. Some people actually lose sleep over it. Some people actually begin to manifest sickness in their bodies because of the weight of the problems and the troubles that they're experiencing. How many know that it's very real? Okay, it's very real. But the Bible talks about these troubles, and it doesn't call them heavy and everlasting. And that's good news. And remember, I'm preaching the good news of the gospel. It says, our light and momentary troubles. It calls your troubles light and momentary. This morning, you need to look at your problems and remind them that they are light and they're momentary. They're not heavy. They're not everlasting. They're not going to be with you for a lifetime. They're not going to be that which takes you into depression or that which carries you into a place of sickness. But these troubles are light and momentary. And then the Bible speaks about these troubles, and it says they are achieving or working for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. Now, this is absolutely amazing. This is revelatory right here. Because I know that God doesn't bring bad things into the life of a believer. Our God is not a God of sickness. Our God is not a God of disease. Our God is not a God of poverty. Our God is not a God of disagreement, a God that is continually bringing dissension. Our God is not greedy. Our God is not angry. Our God is not mad. Our God is not upset with you. Our God is a very, very good and loving Father. He doesn't do bad things. He doesn't bring bad things to people. But the reality is, there is a father of lies called Satan. He's the enemy. And the Bible says he comes for one reason, and that is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And the enemy would love nothing more than to bring problems into your life that would try to rob you of blessings, problems that would try to come into your life and steal things from you, kill things in your life, and destroy you entirely. And this is the battle that we face. This is the spiritual warfare that we face. I believe the greatest spiritual warfare is really standing in the truth of God's word and believing his truth above all other fact, above all other situations, above all other feelings, believing that his word is true and that he is working all things together for the good of them that love him. Do bad things come into the life of believers? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. Does pain come into the life of believers? Absolutely. Does sickness come into the life of believers? It attempts to. Does poverty try to ravish the life of believers? Absolutely. Because these are all works of the enemy. And the enemy would love nothing more than to take you out. But I love what the Bible says here, because God flips the whole thing. The enemy is doing these things to try to take you out. But then he says in his word, our light and momentary troubles are working for us. What? What? You see, God doesn't put these problems in your life. But when the problems come into your life, God says, I'm going to redeem the thing that the enemy tried to take you out with. I'm about to bring you into something you have never, ever touched before. What are your problems working for you? Your problems are supposed to work for you to bring you into a glory, an eternal glory that outweighs all of the problems you've ever experienced. What? You've got problems in your life, and God wants to take them, turn them around, and cause them to work for you to bring you into greater glory. Somebody say, I'm headed for the blessing. I'm headed for the blessing. I love this. It doesn't matter what you go through in life, God always has your back. It doesn't matter what kind of thing life has tried to serve you. It doesn't matter what life has tried to dish you. It doesn't matter what situations have come your way. God has got your back. And He says, I will work all things. The good, the bad, and the ugly. I will work all things together for the good of those that love me. Those whose heart is towards me. Those who will keep their eyes focused and fixed on the prize. All things are going to start working, including your problems. Now, this is really a mind shift right here. Because for some of you, you've been looking at your problem and you've seen your problem as this giant obstacle in your life or this giant oppressor in your life or even as this giant that you're working for. I've never felt like you're working for your problems. You understand what I'm talking about? It feels like your problems are the taskmaster and master, and here you are working for your problems are dictating what you do. Your problems are dictating how you live. Your problems are dictating how much you're going to give. Your problems are dictating how you're going to feel. That's not the way it's to be. The Bible says your problems are supposed to work for you. You better understand this morning, because when you get the mind shift, the Bible says people perish for lack of knowledge. See, as long as you're caught in deception, the enemy will try to feed you lies. But as soon as the deception is uncovered, illumination is recovered, suddenly you begin to move into a manifestation of divine glory and victory as you've never known. Because as soon as the lights are turned on, hallelujah, when you see things the way they're really supposed to be, and this morning you're beginning to see that your problems are supposed to work for you. No longer your problems dictating what you're going to do. You dictate to your problems what they're going to do. Problem, you get back to work. Let me tell you, I've got a few employees in my life right now. I have got a few employees. I might even have a couple hundred employees at this point. But they're all working for me. Hallelujah. And anytime they get out of order, you just point to them, you speak to them, and you tell them, get back to work. Because you're supposed to work to bring me into greater glory. You're supposed to work to bring me into victory. You're supposed to work to bring me and give me a testimony that I didn't have before. Our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And you think, you know, you would say, well, Brother Joshua, this is a nice little sermon, but you don't know what I'm going through. You're right. I don't know what you're going through, but I know what I've gone through. And I have my own story, and I have my own situations, and I have my own testimonies, and I have my own victories. And because of what God has done in my life, I can tell you today that your problems are supposed to work for you. Several years ago, we had a situation where, you know, we had been believing for the first 11 years of our marriage, Janet, Angela, and I, we were believing God for a home that we would have, that He would somehow provide for us a home that we could own. It was a dream that we could be homeowners. And we spent 11 years renting apartments, renting rental homes, rental properties, rental offices. We had to have a home in Canada for our Canadian ministry offices. We also had a home in America for our American ministry offices. We had to rent the ministry offices in both Canada and in America. And we were always renting. And you see, the thing is this. We weren't focused on what we could do for ourselves. The whole thing about what God has given us as revelation is that we understand that if we take care of His house, He'll take care of ours. And He's given us a call, whether we get paid for it or not, whether we receive anything natural or not, He's given us a call. He's put a ministry and an anointing upon our life to do the work of the ministry. And so our heart is to do whatever He wants us to do, whatever it takes, we're willing to do it. Spirit, soul, and body, God, we're yours. And so We have been extremely blessed over the years, and God's brought a lot of finance into our life. But as quick as it comes into our life, it's released through our life for the work of the ministry. And we're never concerned about how are we going to take care of ourselves. We always believe that as we sowed into the things of God, as we give our life and dedicate ourselves to the things of the ministry, that God somehow, in some way, would take care of us as we were taking care of what He had instructed us to do. And you know what? His name is faithful and true. It's not just what He does, it's His name. And I can tell you this morning, He is so faithful. After 11 years of marriage, and I won't get into the whole testimony, we were in a situation where our landlord wanted to come back and live. He wanted to live in the home that we were renting. And he said we had to be out in a few months, and we needed a home. And that morning we went to the ministry office, and there was a knock on the door, and it was someone that asked us, "Do you need a home?" I'm not talking about we went out looking for homes. I'm talking about the home came looking for us. And the knock on the door came, "Do you need a home?" We said, "Yes." So the lady took us to see the home. It was perfect in every way. "Did we have money to buy the home?" "No." There's a difference between do you need a home and do you have money to buy a home. But we said we wanted the home. And so we saw it. We liked it. We knew it was perfect. And then the little old lady asked the million-dollar question, "Do you have money to buy the home?" And we told her we did not have the money. And she told us to go get a loan. And we went to the banks, and all the banks denied us of any loan because we just didn't have the credit history. We didn't have the finances in the bank to approve us for the loan. And so the little old lady called us back a few days later, and she said, "It doesn't matter that the banks won't give you the money." She said, "I knew they wouldn't give you a loan." I said, "Why did you ask us to go down there?" She said, "Because I wanted to see if you were really serious about it." I said, "Well, of course we're serious about it." She said, "Well, then it doesn't matter that the banks won't give you the money because I'm very rich and I have a lot of money." She told me this. And so she went ahead and she bought the home for us. And she made an agreement that we would pay her back so much every month. And if we wanted to pay more, we could. And if we wanted to pay less, that was fine too. And it was very flexible. And the interest rate that she gave us was less than any of the banks would have offered. It was one of the most amazing things. And a few months later, I had an encounter with a prosperity angel. This is a huge testimony, but I'm trying to make it very short. I had an encounter with a prosperity angel that went before me to prosper me in my ways. Now, that's biblical right there. And others saw the prosperity angel, confirmed that the angel was moving in my life. By the end of that weekend, somebody came up to me and handed me a check to pay off my home in full. Debt-free. Now, God literally gave us that home. As we took care of His business, He took care of our business, really. And I can tell you that and testify about it. And there's authority behind it because it's not just a good story that I know. It's my life. It's what I've lived. And God gave us this home. Now, Janet, Angie, and I, we moved into this home, this dream home, this gift from God. We're living in it for 5 days. And after 5 days, we left and we were doing ministry like we do. And Janet Angela had been ministering down in the Caribbean. And she went to fly back to our home in Canada. And as she was passing through the U.S., now remember, we're Canadian citizens. Although I've been a missionary in America since the age of 19, we are Canadian citizens. And Janet Angela was flying through the U.S. And as she was flying through, you know, they do the typical, you know, border check and customs check. And then you go through and you catch your plane. And when they stopped her for 26 hours, interrogated her like crazy, did some things that people should never ever do. Janet Angela experienced some crazy stuff, but then they accused Janet Angela of being a terrorist. Right here. Now, doesn't she look like a terrorist to you? I tell you, they got it half right. In the realm of the spirit, she is absolutely violent. Really. She is. But in the natural, she is one of the most peaceful, sweet, loving people I've ever met in my life. Jen Angela is absolutely amazing. And they accused her of being a terrorist. And so because of that, the accusations, there's no proof and there's no nothing behind it, just an accusation. How many know that the enemy is the accuser of the brethren? With the accusation, they gave her a 5-year ban and banned her from living
or residing or even entering into the United States. Now, how do you reconcile this? God just gave us a home. Do you think it was God? You'd have to be so dumb to not understand that that was God that gave us that home. I mean, the whole way, the home came looking for us, and the home paid for itself. If that's not God, I don't know what is. But only living in that home for 5 days, after 5 days, Janet can no longer live in that home. And so we find ourselves living now in the apartment that we're renting in Canada. It's a one-bedroom apartment. We have one bedroom in the back, and the front living room is being used for our ministry offices. Lincoln, our son, is sleeping on an air mattress in the office area at night, and then everything has to be packed up early in the morning, and everybody has to be showered and ready to go before the secretary arrives, come on, to take care of ministry business Monday to Friday between 9 to 5. And so we were all cramped up living in this little kind of thing. And I said, God, this is not right. Really. God, I know that you didn't put that ban on Janet Angela. That was not you. That was the accuser of the brethren. That was the enemy if I ever saw it. So crazy. How many know the things the enemy does doesn't make sense? It's just so crazy. We said, God, this is just so crazy. And now we're all sleeping in this one little one-bedroom apartment, all cramped up in this apartment with all the ministry stuff. The offices are in here, and the secretary's in here, and we're all cramped up in here, and this is no way that I can live like this. And I was just talking to God about this, and all of a sudden, faith began to rise in my heart. And suddenly, I began to realize the same God that gave me a home in California is the same God that's able to give me a home in Canada. Now, I would have never, ever thought of ever believing God for a home if we were cozy in our home in California, lots of room, plenty of space. I would have never, ever thought of believing God for a second home, because remember, it took me 11 years to become a first-time homeowner. But in this situation, in this problem that I know God didn't bring, the enemy brought it. What does the Bible say? Those problems will work for you to bring you into greater glory. And suddenly I was reminded of this verse, and I began to look at that problem. I said, problem, you're going to begin to work for me. Problem, you're going to work for me. You're going to work for me to bring me. You thought you were about to take me out. You thought you were about to take me down. You thought you were about to shut down my ministry. You're about to work for me to bring me into a greater glory than I've ever experienced before. And suddenly faith began to rise inside of us. The same God that provided before can provide again. His name is El Shaddai, not God of a little bit, or not God of a tiny trickle of blessing, but the God of more than enough. The God of overflow. Even when I didn't understand that the blessing of God was greater, God is showing up, and suddenly I begin to realize that the same God that gave me a home before could give me a home again. And in this problem that I was facing, that problem began to work for me. Hallelujah. You can sit under your problems, or you can take your rightful position and stand over your problems. Somebody say, I'm rising up over all my problems this morning. And they're going to get back to work. Get going. Come on, get going. You don't stand around listening to my sermon problems. You get back to work right now. Whole time I'm preaching, you work. Within 3 weeks' time, I can't even explain to you how it happened, but within 3 weeks' time, we didn't have the money, we didn't have the finances, we didn't have the credit history, but within 3 weeks' time, God gave us a second home in Canada. You didn't hear what I said. We didn't have the money. We didn't have the credit history. We didn't even have earthly connections for it to happen. But God literally gave us two homes within a period of 4 months. We became first-time homeowners two times in 4 months. Without the money, without the credit, But how many know that God has a whole lot of money? And God has a whole lot of cred. Hallelujah. I mean, really. Hallelujah. God did it. And our problems began to work for us. We would have never had two homes if we had been stuck in the blessing. But when that thing tried to come to steal our blessing, we commanded our problems to get back to work. And it actually multiplied our blessing and brought us into the double portion. Somebody say, I'm about to enter into double portion of blessing in my life. Now the key is here in verse 18. It says, so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen. For what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. Now, this is a key right here, because sometimes you can be so busy, focused, and looking at your problems that you get so bogged down and you become so heavy-hearted. But God is really wanting us to lift up our eyes, lift our vision a little bit higher. Somebody say, things are not as bad as they look. When I look into heaven, come on, say it. When I look into His glory, when my eyes are fixed upon Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of my faith, He's working miracles in my life. The Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It's talking about placing your eyes in a different realm. It's talking about looking into a different sphere of influence. It's talking about gazing beyond what's temporary into the eternal. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And then what does it say? In that place of looking at His glory, all these other things shall be added unto you. I'm not looking for material wealth, you understand? I'm not looking for earthly blessing. I'm not looking for how my problems, how I can manipulate, how I can change, how I can turn situations. I'm keeping my eyes focused on Jesus Christ, my eyes fixed on His kingdom. And as I do, all these other things are added. A lot of people have their eyes so money focused. It's amazing. When I talk about money, I don't have a problem speaking about money. I don't have a problem preaching about it. I don't have a problem telling you about it. I don't have a problem giving people opportunity to give. And the reason why is because I don't tell you to do anything that I don't do myself. Now, there's some people, they say, well, Brother Joshua, we're just so embarrassed to talk about money. And I think if you're embarrassed to talk about money, then obviously you've got the issue. You shouldn't be embarrassed to talk about it unless you've got a problem with it. Unless you know you're doing something bad with it, something wrong with it, then yeah, you should be really embarrassed to talk about it. Oh, it got real silent in this place. Well, Brother Joshua, the money is evil. No, it's not. It's the love of money. It's the greed, it's the lust, or the obsession for money. In other words, if you're money focused, there's a big problem. A big problem. Some people, they've told me, well, Brother Joshua, I heard you preaching one message about finances, and I was just really, really offended about that because it just seemed like you're so money-focused. Actually, if you listen to what we do and how we share, I don't talk overtly about finances, but I do talk about giving ourselves to the glory, because it's a big key in the realm of the Spirit about giving what we have. And I'm not talking about just money. I'm talking about spirit, soul, and body. When we give ourselves to the glory, there's a blessing that comes for us. There really is. And the problem is, people have complained about, and I'm not saying people here, I'm just saying in general, there have been people that have a problem when you begin to speak about how God wants to prosper you. But the real issue is, those people have such a poverty mentality that actually they're the ones that cannot stop thinking about money. And actually, they go through their day, and all they can think about is, how much money are we spending? How much money should we get? How much money do we have in the bank account? How much? And it's an obsession with money. Actually, their life is reflecting poverty, but they are more obsessed with money. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Money is an evil. Actually, money has been given to us as believers. And I'm not receiving an offering right now, so everybody can, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay. But it's important, okay? money has been placed in the life of a believer to be used for kingdom purposes. I believe that God wants us to live in kingdom prosperity. Now, this is different than what the world would call prosperity. The world would call amassing or hoarding or accumulating things. If you had a lot of stuff, then the world would say that you are very prosperous. In the kingdom of God, it's not about amassing or accumulating or hoarding things. It's all about God providing for all of your needs in order to enable you to do whatever it's that you're called to do, with enough left over to be generous on every occasion. That's true kingdom, biblical prosperity. It's not about how many homes I have or how many cars I drive or what kind of car I drive. It's, do I have in my life the means to do what God has called and ordained me to do, with enough to live a generous lifestyle to be a blessing to those that I meet? Come on, that's kingdom prosperity. That's very balanced biblical kingdom prosperity. Hallelujah. How many want to live in kingdom prosperity? Yeah. God wants you to live because you cannot give what you don't have. And there's some people that say, well, God, I just don't need anything. But what you don't understand, God wants to give you things so that you can give away things. Again, I'm not just talking about finances. I'm talking about in every way. If you don't have a gifting, how can you flow in a gifting? If you're not operating in your creativity and the talent that comes from God, then how can anybody be blessed by that expression or by that worship that you would bring to the Lord in that way? Okay? And so God wants to bless you in massive ways, but we have to lift up our eyes a little bit further. We have to see into the glory, focused on Jesus, not looking for stuff, but looking to Him. Understand that as we worship Him, as we give to Him, as we sow our life to Him, as we open up to Him, there's a flow of blessing that comes into our life. I don't give to Him to get. I give to Him because He's worthy. But in giving to Him, He doesn't leave me lacking. He doesn't leave me in a place of insufficiency. He doesn't leave me in a place of being without. He leaves me in a place of being blessed so that I can be a blessing. It's wonderful. Huh. There was a newspaper article I read several years ago in America, and it was talking about a woman that had gone shopping at the grocery store, and she came back into her car, and she was sitting in her car, and actually, the people that collect the trolleys in the grocery, in the, I don't know if you call it grocery supermarket, Pick and Easy, what was it called? No, okay, something. Pick and Play. What is that place called? Pick and Pay. Pick and Pay. Okay, Pick and Pay. it was Pick and Something. Okay. yeah, if you pick, you better pay. So the trolley cart attendant looked over and saw this woman hunched over the steering wheel in her car. And the newspaper article said that she was hunched over. She was actually holding her hands on the back of her neck, and it looked like she was in agony. And so the man went over to the window and just tapped on the window, asked her if she's okay. And she said, no. She said, I have been shot in the back of the head, and my brains are coming out. And so, of course, the trolley attendant went inside the grocery store. He called the emergency vehicles. He went out to stand there to be with her as the emergency vehicles were coming. And she was still hunched over the steering wheel, holding the back of her head. And within the time that it took for the emergency vehicles to respond, she actually passed out two times because of the pain that she was experiencing. Now, when the emergency vehicles arrived, they went to get in the car, and she said, I've been shot in the back of the head, and my brains are coming out. She said it again. And everybody was extremely concerned. They got into the car, and they went to attend to her, and suddenly everybody was shocked and amazed and surprised to discover that she had not been shot in the back of the head and her brains weren't coming out. But what had happened was this. In America, they sell dough for biscuits in a little tiny canister. I have to explain it to you. It's like a little tiny, airtight, vacuum-sealed canister. It has metal lids on both ends. And the only way you can open up that canister is if you tap it on the counter the right way. It literally explodes. and it creates a shooting sound, and the ends fly off, and the dough pops out, and you've got your wet dough that you can just lay on the baking sheet and then put in the oven. Somehow, when this woman got into her car, her dough exploded, creating a shooting sound. The dough flew up, and a biscuit hit her in the back of the head. She grabbed her head, and suddenly, she thought she had been shot in the back of the head, and her brains were coming out. Somebody say, it's not as bad as it looks. Things are not as they appear. Come on. The enemy would love nothing more than to distract you from your calling, to distract you from what you're called to do, called to be, called to manifest. And sometimes in your life, those things that have seemed like such traumatizing problems. Now remember, the newspaper article said that this woman passed out two times because of the great pain that she was experiencing. Some of the stuff you've been going through is nothing more than a biscuit in the back of the head. And you've been crying and screaming, passing out because of the great pain that you're experiencing. Somebody say, the enemy's a liar. The enemy is a liar. Let me tell you this. If the enemy throws a biscuit at the back of the head, what are you supposed to do? The Bible says he works all things together for the good of those that love him. All things work together for your good. If the enemy throws a biscuit at the back of your head, you take that biscuit, you put it in the oven, and you make yourself some breakfast. Hallelujah. And if you don't want to eat it, you can feed it to your dog. Praise God. Put your problems to work. Put your problems to work. Don't let your problems dictate who you are in Christ. Put your problems to work because they are working for you to bring you into greater glory. Some of you are going through stuff right now, and I'm not trying to make light of situations because I understand some of the stuff you're going through has been absolutely crippling and devastating to your life. But what I'm trying to do is shift your mind to see from heaven's perspective. Understand that God has something better for you. Don't give up. You are on the brink of a miracle. You're on the brink. You're right on the edge. You're about to cross over and get the greatest breakthrough you've ever had. But you can't lose heart. You got to stay in faith. You got to stay knowing that He is for you. He's not against you. No weapon formed against you will prosper. Any biscuit that flies at the back of your head, my God. If life hands you a lemon, you make lemonade. If the devil throws a biscuit at you, you make breakfast. But I've been shot in the back of the head and my brains are coming out. Open up your eyes and see it as He begins to see it. Huh. Hallelujah. All things work together. God doesn't put problems in your life. God doesn't try to take you out. The enemy does that. But when the enemy is unfaithful, and when the enemy comes to ravish and destroy, even when we are unfaithful, the Bible says that He is still faithful. Ha. Hallelujah. He is faithful. He is faithful. And I could tell you so many more testimonies in our life when we begin to speak to our problems and tell them, get back to work. And how God has used a situation to bring forth a miracle where the enemy tried to literally paralyze us. The enemy is defeated, and God begins to rise up and we just get another victory. Some of you are about to rise up into the greatest testimonies you've ever had in your life. And the wonderful thing about walking into a testimony after you've been through the trial, the wonderful thing about that testimony is that it gives you power and authority in the Spirit to open up that realm for others. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. There's some people here this morning that you've been in situations, even immigration situations, where the enemy has tried to do you dirty, do you wrong, and tried to bring chaos and confusion into your life. But even as we stand in the authority of God and the victories that He's given us in the midst of the problem, I'm here to tell you this morning that God's got a miracle for you. Who is that? Stand up real quick if that's you. Just stand up. Stand up. Yeah. Just take it right now from the realm of glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I hate the devil. I hate the things that the devil does. I hate all the attacks of the devil, all the craziness, all the biscuits that are flying, all the stuff that he tries to. I hate it all. But I know this, that God is glorious and God is victorious. And the Bible says that you are an overcomer through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you by the authority of your Spirit that you are releasing victories. I thank you that you are releasing miracles. I thank you that you are creating glorious testimonies in the middle of the test, in the middle of the trial, in the middle of the problems, in the middle of the obstacle. God, right now, I thank you that our problems are working for us to bring us into greater glory. In Jesus' mighty name, right now, I thank you for victory that's in the atmosphere. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, just praise him. Just praise him. Everybody stand up and praise the Lord this morning. Just praise him. There's something on the inside that's flowing to the outside. Amen. It's victory. It's blessing. It's healing. It's miracles. It's glory. Come on, why don't you all just lift up your hands before God this morning and just say this, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you are for me. I thank you that you're my defender and you're my shield. God, I thank you that your thoughts are good towards me. And Lord, I thank you that you are faithful even when I've been unfaithful. Help me to see things the way that you see them. Jesus, I want to see you glorified. This morning, help me to see you seated upon the throne. In heavenly glory. Seated in victory. As righteous judge. Ruler over all. Savior of the world. Healer of my pains. Deliverer of my soul. Lord, I thank you that you're working miracles in my life. And that all of my problems are working for me to bring me into a place of greater glory. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Come on, just give him praise. Just give him praise. Give him praise. Thank you, Lord. Pastor Steve and Janet, just lift up your hands real quick. I feel like the Lord is saying this morning that there has been a turn in the realm of the Spirit. I see like a swirling of glory where things are just beginning to change. There's the shift in the atmosphere even this weekend. Things that have been hindrances in the past will no longer be a hindrance in the future. And those things that have been pains in the past are opening up and becoming great promises for tomorrow. And I see God beginning to lead you into greater victories than you've ever known. You're stepping into a new day of victory and a new day of triumph. Yeah. You've seen great miracles in the past, and you've seen great blessings in the past, and you've seen and experienced great victories in the past. But there's a new realm that's opening up for you. There's a new realm that's opening up for your family. There's a new realm that's opening up for the ministry. There's a new realm that's opening up for this church, for the church body, for the congregation. I see this new realm, this new place in the Spirit being carved out for you. Whoa. Thank you, Jesus. I just bless the work of God in your life. I bless the ministry that you carry. I bless the things that God, the seeds that have been planted on the inside. And I call forth the greater harvest. In Jesus' mighty name, Lord, I thank you for doing it. I thank you for doing it. I thank you for doing it in their lives. I thank you for doing it in this church. Lord, I thank you for the victories. The victories. Somebody say victories. Don't give up. You're on the brink of the greatest victories that you have ever known. Hallelujah. Come on, give God praise again. Just give him more praise.
Gee, thanks so much, Joshua. What an encouraging word this morning. I feel like you can go do anything. We're going to, and we can. You feel that way because you can. We're going to take a little break now because some people need lunch. And then we'll just carry straight on tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless you. God make his face shine on you for the rest of today and the rest of your life. Amen.
With our hands.